Clay Shorkey holds a PhD in social work and psychology from the University of Michigan. He's been a professor at the University of Texas at Austin for 33 years, teaching and researching in mental health and chemical dependency treatment. He's the board president of the Texas Music Museum, past vice president of the Carver Museum of Black History and Culture, and co-chair of the Austin Museum Partnership. He's also a member of the Music Box Society and the Automatic Instrument Collectors Association. Clay has spent 25 years collecting artifacts, creating oral histories, photography, and recording Texas musicians. Please welcome Clay Shorkey.
It's nice to be here. Dave and John have done a great job, you know, introducing, I guess, the basis and the purpose for the project that I've been involved in, which is this Texas Music Museum. And I think they both pointed out that actually the range of Texas music is really vast, and so many. I don't think there's probably any other state that's had, you know, as many people, you know, making contributions in so many areas and such. So actually, I met John way back before I even got going with this Texas. We got going with this Texas Music Museum project because he's probably the original person in Texas to take an interest and try to build a collection and, you know, preserve a lot of the Texas music history and such. I was interested in just collecting recordings in general for many years before I got interested specifically in terms of Texas, and then also collecting machines. Like John was saying, the original kind of equipment, and I brought a couple of things, just give us a little sample. Most of you are familiar with these kind of machines, but we're talking all the way back to some of the early cylinder machines that recorded on wax. The only recording that we found on Edison that's on wax, other than I'm sure those ones that John talks about must have been on wax because that was the only approach back then. But there's one called San Antonio Song. We have a copy of that that was it's a really early, you know, composition and such. And there's the one aspect of collection, by the way, is also sheet music and some beautiful, you know, artwork and such. And we have a large collection of Texas music in terms of sheet music. And I guess that's maybe a way of recording music before you could actually, you know, recorded on phonograph records or things like that. The other kinds of machines, of course, what we've tried to do in terms of the Texas Music Museum, we can't always do it because of space and security and such, but not only try to talk about the music and the people and the culture of the times, but also a lot of the interesting kind of equipment, from, like I said, wax machines to the celluloid cylinders to the basically the one-sided discs, and a lot of different companies, you know, contributed in terms of not only Edison, Columbia, Victor, Gramophone. You know, you know some of you have written books on these things, but we've got a large collection, basically, you know, through the various kinds of acoustic machines, and then into the late 20s when we started to see electric pickups on some of the and electric turntables and some of the phonographs, and early radios, AC sets, early televisions, you know, hi-fi, you know, it's all very interesting, you know, part of the history. Texas Music Museum basically came out of kind of an appreciation and interest of a number of people here in Austin that we just got together and said, listen, with the diversity of the music in Texas, you know, we really, really makes a lot of sense for us to try to develop an organization that would not only help collect and preserve and kind of promote Texas music, but also present exhibits, do symposiums, provide music performances, classes, things like that. So we actually organized this. Everybody should have in your, I think, in your package a little flyer that's kind of an overview of Texas Music Museum. So we incorporated in 1984 and got the support of groups like the Texas Music Teachers and Texas Music Educators and Texas, at that time there was actually a statewide organization of Texas commercial musicians and such that's kind of gone out of business. We tied in with the Texas Sesquicentennial, so that in 85 we were basically made an official sesquicentennial organization, and we had our first big exhibit in 1986, which we did in conjunction with the Texas Sesquicentennial and such. Since that time, we've been working. We basically had an agenda to try to. We've spent about a year on kind of each kind of component of Texas music. So whether it's cowboy, country, western swing, German, Czech, I suppose we spend several years on Tejano music because it, Conjunto music, orquesta. We spent a couple of summers just finding and doing oral histories and finding artifacts and photographs related to women, Tejana singers and such. And Chris put out a couple of nice CDs, and we really appreciate everything that Chris Strachwich has done, because he's allowed a lot of the wonderful material from Texas musicians that probably otherwise wouldn't be available, you know, to be kind of out there on the market. And I remember when that CD came out, I think we provided some photos for that, and appreciate help back from him in terms of our exhibits and such. But blues, jazz, gospel, Texas classical music, you know, certainly a big major component, and soul, now we even have rap, you know, ragtime, barrel house, piano music, this kind of thing, so very, very broad. We also took about a year and researched Native American music of Texas and had to break that down into three pieces. Some of the tribes, there's actually no recorded music, but information about the instruments and the kind of music of some of the tribes that actually were here when the first Spanish explorers came, in some of the journals, but many of those tribes are actually extinct as tribes. We still have people who say, no, listen, I have Karankawa blood or something, and you know, there's still people who will trace themselves to some of those Indian groups, but the tribes. Then all the rest of the, quote, native tribes in Texas were basically run out of Texas, and so to do our research, we had to basically spend most of our time in Oklahoma and go to New Mexico and such. And then we have a few what I call, we have the exile tribes, and then we have the immigrant tribes. So we have three tribes that have been here quite a while. Tiwas out in El Paso, and the Kickapoos over by Eagle Pass, and Alabama Coushattas and such that basically came from Alabama. Kickapoos came more from Minnesota and such. And so we tried to cut across that whole range of Native American and also urban Indians and such, and collect a lot of music and all the materials we could. So we did that. But we tried to do a lot of research. In your flyer, again, we're located in a relatively small space, but the people who own basically run the building let us use kind of the whole building as a kind of gallery, and we use the conference room for music programs and things like that. The current exhibit is called African American Texas Music Spotlight on Austin, and it's the museum's usually only open on during the week, because we're still an all-volunteer organization, because we still haven't found those big contributors yet to, you know, to help us kind of put this over the top. I had talked to a couple of folks saying, if there, some people said that they were interested in coming over there on Sunday, and I wanted to find out if there was some people that would want to come over and see the place, you know, when we could be over there and, you know, have it open. Like, is anybody interested in coming over there? A couple of folks, like, morning or afternoon? Or morning, afternoon. Somebody else, afternoon or early? 10 to, yeah, okay. Then let's do that, okay? 10 to 12 or whatever. If somebody wants it later, we'll do that, and we can you know, play some recordings. And we have this nice, for this exhibit, we've got a video that includes about 20 video clips of people that are in the exhibit and such, that are basically videos that were shot at some of our past programs and such. Also, we can a part of the sheet music collections up. It was in another exhibit called Songs of Texas, and we did that as a part of a celebration for 100 years of the Texas Capitol building and such. What I brought over here, I don't know whether that, hopefully that mic works over there. What I thought I would do is basically just a sample of kind of items and such. And of course, we've talked about cylinder recordings, and the Prisoner's Song, Vernon Dalhart, very famous, you know, Texas musician and such. And some people say that was the first kind of million-selling country. At least country vocal, and some people again say Robertson was the kind of first instrumental, also from Texas and such. What's interesting again is that Dalhart, of course, as you know, many of you, there's many different labels that he recorded in those days. Again, I brought about maybe six or seven different labels, you know, with the recording of Prisoner Song, including the cylinder version. But also, actually, I'm going to see if I can walk over there. Can I take this?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right. Okay. Then, basically, the wax recordings, the cylinder recordings, one of the recordings we were looking for a long time is Mary Carson, was a kind of a classical and kind of light kind of opera person from Houston, and her first recording was called "Oh Dry Those Tears" and such. And so we've managed to be able to find most of Mary Carson's materials, and of course, like I said, most of Vernon Dalhart, and of course, he's recorded on the big diamond discs as well as the regular. But some of the other kind of interesting things is Scott Joplin, who also is, of course, a Texan from Texarkana. And it's pretty rare to find some of the actual hand-played, you know, piano rolls and such. And so we have just a few of those, you know, that are original, cut by Scott Joplin, reproducing. How many people here have reproducing pianos? And anybody? Yeah. What kind do you have? You got an Ampico? Okay. We got Ampico and Duo Art and Welty Mignon and some of these. And of course, some of the also the other early recordings in terms of Texas artists. Olga Samaroff was probably one of the greatest pianists and such. And she recorded on Welty Mignon. And I think, again, some of the earliest Texas recordings are actually on these wonderful reproducing piano rolls. She also, we had an exhibit actually over at John's shop at the Center for American History related to Texas classical music. And the centerpiece of that in the program, we had a wonderful restored Welty Mignon Grand, and one of the things we did is we played some recordings from Ruth Bingaman, who also recorded on Deluxe and on Welty Mignon, you know, basically in the 20s and such, and played some of those. And then what we did, we had a big surprise because we found we had found her in San Antonio, and so she was 96, I think, at the time, and out she walked and played some of her music at the piano and such. And she's she lived till she was 101 and such. And one of the projects that was done with Amica and some of the folks in Texas was to find all of her recordings and put out a set of four re-recordings of her music, and she signed all those and such, and that was done before she died, which was really a nice, I think 35 sets of those were made. Her teacher was John Steinfeld, who's called the Dean of Texas Composers, and he only produced two Ampico recordings of two of his compositions and such, and man, we've searched forever, but we finally found both of those as well. Some of the regular things, like I said, I'll spread these kinds of things out, but here's, these are prisoner songs on Banner and Bell and Cameo, and some of you may have even Edison cylinders and Edison diamond discs. Some rare things, too, like we had an opera singer called Daisy Elgin and from Houston and such, and her sister was still alive. And we have a kind of a really nice thing that she and her sister cut a recording in kind of the early 40s on one of those speakerphones and such. And it's a sister playing the piano with her singing and such for her mother for Mother's Day. It's kind of an unusual kind of recording. I think the time's getting towards the end. I brought things like some of the Texas folks, Peppermint Harris, T-Bone Walker, Sam Price, and Texas bluesicians, Gene Austin, you know, multi-million selling Bye Bye Blackbird, some of these very famous, Ernest Tubb, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, Blind Willie Johnson, Gene Autry, of course, like Here Comes Santa Claus or something. Jules Allen, singing cowboy. Eck Robertson, again, like we say, probably, again, along with Vernon Dalhart, are the two people who are credited with the starting country music. Pee Wee Creighton, Pee Wee's Bounce, who's from Austin, Texas. Victoria Spivey, Gate Mouth Brown, Sippy Wallace again. This is an interesting one. This is Oscar Moore and with Charles Brown. Charles Brown and Oscar Moore. In terms of Tejano music, Chelo Silva. One of the things we do have with the Texas Music Museum is we found the first person who recorded Tejano accordion music in 1930, whose name was Bruno Villarreal, and people thought he was dead, and we found him alive in a nursing home and kind of adopted him also, you know, for birthdays and Christmases and things like that, and his sister donated his original accordion, so we have that, and those recordings from the 30s and such. In terms of Tejano music, people like, and Chris, you know, again, what the Narciso Martinez, basically that started Conjunto music, and Beto Villa, the first, you know, orchestra, cello, Carmen and Laura, the first kind of Tejano women to record on the kitchen table in Carmen's house with her husband, who started the first recording studio, EDL. And by the way, if you come over there, we have all the original, all the record cutting equipment from EDL from that first studio in Alice, Texas, because Carmen donated all of that to us. Texas music is so broad and interesting. Some of the things we've had a little more trouble. This is an advertisement. Trying to find "Let's Talk About Jesus" by Bells of Joy. Any kind of recordings by the Chariots that have been really hard to find. Some of the Texas gospel folks. Sister Jessie Mae Renfro, I think we found she had moved to Oklahoma, and we were able to get some material and recordings and photos and such, but we haven't found any of her original Peacock recordings and such. If anybody knows of any of those, we're real interested. So, yeah, many of you have done a lot of collecting. If you come across items that you think would be, you know, useful, please get a hold of us. You know, Texas Music Museum, get a hold of John at Center for American History and such. So, thank you.
Thanks very much, Clay. Anybody with questions for Clay and his, as he says, all-volunteer organization? Surely. Chris?
Good question, yeah. Well, for example, one of the newer projects is a guy named Larry Taylor and a group of people are talking about a Museum of Texas kind of music history in Dallas that's going to would be more blues and jazz and such at Dallas. He's going to be here tomorrow, and we're meeting, and we're going to talk about, well, how can we work together? We've got a project in Alice, Texas, the Tejano Roots Museum, and I was down there a couple of months ago, and again, you know, they're struggling. Most of the programs, you know, are kind of short on resources. We borrowed some stuff from them, and we're gonna take them one of the record cutting machines, you know, that we have, and share that for their museum. So that since EDL started, you know, in Ellis, Texas, just this week, actually, I was on the phone with Steve Williams with the Houston Group. Talking with the West Texas collection group up in Fort Worth and such, where we've tried to work with lots of the different groups, and I think the approach is probably to come up with, Texas is so big and the music, this area is so broad that I don't think probably you need just one, you know, one museum. Over in Beaumont, Port Arthur, they have I think it's called the Museum of the Gulf Coast, and they have this nice one, Big Bopper and Janis Joplin and things like that. So hopefully what we're going to do is, and we're kind of moving a little closer to coming up with some kind of a consortium of like how we can work together, and we'll kind of have a network of resources. And of course, part of that's the museums, and then part of it's the collections, like here at UT, Humanities Resource Center here has a big collection also. And just down the road in San Marcos is Texas, now it's called Texas State University, and they have a new center for the study of Texas music history and such. Yeah, actually, he used to have the Greyhound bus terminal for South San Antonio. Yeah, exactly. And his little Conjunto Museum is in what used to be the bus station. Yeah.
I was wondering if somebody like the Indian Museum or somebody could organize, first of all, an inventory of how many museums are there, and then what is to become of them in case people pass on.
Probably Casey Monahan's Texas Music Office has been trying to do that, and if you go to the governor's office and go to, I don't know what it is, probably yeah, he has an extensive listing. Now, there may be, Salome's might not be in there yet, you know, because like you said, there's a lot of kind of mom and pop one. There's some folk, a couple of people I met in Corpus Christi, and a huge, wonderful collection and such, but it's, you know, just a private collection.
For those of you who might be staying until Monday, there is a hearing at the State Capitol building starting at 9 a.m. on a bill that is currently before the House to establish an official State Museum of Texas Music. I don't know of any other states that have such a initiative going on, but certainly we do. So for those of you who can stay until Monday, please come and lobby Chairman Harvey Hildebrand, Ray Benson, who, a name some of you will know from his Asleep at the Wheel, will be there, and it's 9 o'clock on Monday morning.
I happen to have that bill in my hand. It's in room E 2.016. E2.016. You know, the Capitol, they built this huge, about five-story Capitol complex that's underground behind, so it doesn't spoil the view of the Capitol and such. It's marvelous. It's wonderful to go just even see it. But we're not. I think there's questions related to this bill too, because we also don't want the state to contract. In this case, they're talking about a for-profit organization to basically do this, and we're a little worried about the state putting a lot of resources behind something that'll then undercut all the projects that where we've been working for 25 years around the state and such. And we'd like to make sure that it also has a research and archival piece, and that there's a component that people would be able to access these things and such. That it's we really are interested in just a quote kind of an attraction kind of thing. So it'll be interesting to see how this kind of plays out and such. If you come over Sunday, you know, to we say come over to the east side. You come down East 11th Street. They built an arch. It's the old, really African American black part of town, and you come through the first corner you get to is San Marcos. We're in a building on that corner. If you go south on that street, you get the French Legation, the house that was basically used when this land was owned by France and the French kind of governor. That's an interesting place. If you go up East 11th, it splits. Just about two blocks is the State Cemetery, which has been restored, and there's a museum. And if you go left, it's the wonderful new, just opened about a month ago, Carver Museum of Black History and Culture, which is, again, really a marvelous place and such. So right in our little area, there's a lot of cool things if you get over there on Sunday. Okay, thank you.
Any more questions for Clay? No. Do you need to make an announcement? All right. Thanks very much, Clay.
Just three things. Number one, tonight at 7:00, the Associated Audio Archivist meeting is going to be held right across the mezzanine area here for anybody who's interested in that. Also at 7:00 tonight, the Texas chapter of ARSC is meeting. There are two chapters of our organization. One meets at the Library of Congress in Washington, and the other one meets in Houston at Houston Community College. And anybody is welcome to attend that meeting. It's just going to be a short business meeting. We're going to have an election of officers. And anybody who is not a member of the Texas chapter who would be interested in possibly joining is certainly welcome to see us. And we do have a table right out here as well. And you don't even have to live in Texas to be a member. You can subscribe to the video membership. And for $20 a year, you get a video copy of every one of our meetings for that year. And the third thing I wanted to say is that we will be starting again sharply at 1:00, so you have 1 hour for lunch. Thank you.
Kurt, there's a pipe playing on a chair here. I don't know who that is. Oh, okay, good.
I'm Matt Barton. I work for the Pleasant. Prior to that, I worked for the Pleasant.
Buddy Holly, who's in our papers.